So that same spirit in me and is in you is going to empower you to pick it up exactly where we left, not having heard part one and two. This is a part three of a series we did or were doing, Simon Peter. And it was supposed to end last week. And then the amazing thing happened on Monday night, my day off. God came and visited me in the wee hours of the morning, and he said, "No, you don't get a day off." So he woke me up. I had a look at the watch, and it wasn't that late at all. It was 10 to 11. And I don't know, I do remember telling you guys before, in the past, where I have heard from the Lord, and it's been so clear that I thought to myself, I don't need to write notes. You know what I mean? It's such an epiphany. It's such a clear understanding of what he wants me to share for the congregation that I don't need to take notes. And previously, I didn't take notes, and I spent the whole week repenting, trying to find that place again. And, oh, Lord, just come share with me again. It was so good. I'll be a good boy next time and take notes. And on Monday, the first thing I did was take out my notebook. And the Lord shared with me part three of Simon Peter, which I'm going to share with you tonight. As convinced I was last week of the word for the congregation, I do believe that this is, unless he wakes me up again on Monday, this is the end of Simon Peter part three. Can we pull up that scripture, 2 Peter 1:5-9. Before I start reading the word, there is no community on Wednesday night. Please don't be so disappointed. We're just trying to give our comm leaders a bit of a break, leading up to the weekend where they're going to be shepherding you guys. But don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Get out there and do something safely with one another. Just do it differently. We're just giving the comm leaders the night off. Who said that too enthusiastically? You're from Brackenfell. Roland's going to roll on me if he finds out that I said Brackenfell. Ryan gave us permission not to have community. You take that up with him. So we found ourselves ending session 2 in 2 Peter 1:5-9. Is it up? It was. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. We read last week, in increasing measure, even for and I used the term, a once Simon, now Peter. He traded in his name. God gave him a new name, Peter. He knew that sanctification was always a walking out, learning type of lesson, a transformation. It wasn't just a receive and try hold on with everything you had. It was a walking out, despite failures, despite roadblocks and setbacks. His action was to receive and step out of the boat. You see, God doesn't want the story to end with you just knowing what the facts are. This isn't an exercise in appealing to your intellect or your emotions. It was also to your will. And there was the final call. We did the full gospel, the full message we relayed to you last week. And we ask you to step out of the boat and change your lives forever, in ever-increasing measure, as we read from Peter. So this week, like Peter's journey, yours too doesn't just end in hearing the word. Don't you want your life, when people hear of your life's testimony, that they say they saw you die? They saw you step out of the boat and transform your life in such a way that they say they witnessed Jesus in your life. Amen? Come on. I want to say to you tonight that the Lord desperately wants your name. He wants for you to lay it down at his feet and surrender. I received a new name the other night. Big Daddy. And if I want to really walk in what God's got for me, I need to put a lot off. Big Daddy can't represent the old me. And list some bad fruit of my life. Jealousy, anger, impatience, short-temperedness, unforgiveness. All the things I used to walk in when I was without or distant from Jesus. I need to represent Christ. Galatians 5:22-23 gives us a good fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We read in 2 Peter 1, 5-7, we'll read it again now. The things mentioned now in Galatians, the very things that we are to grow in increasing measure. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I don't think we can repeat it enough. You see, temptation is for everyone, even myself. But I have a choice. Every single time the devourer comes around. And so do you. You are not alone, though. There's a brotherhood around you. A family gathered. There's a family praying for you. We heard earlier, testimony of prayer. There's a family dancing and singing and encouraging you on to better things. Hard things. Impossible things. If left to your own decision. Being part of a body, this body means we can accomplish so much more. And we can hold each other to account to do these good things we are called to be. But I don't want us to be the most fun congregation. I do want us to be the most alive, though. Amen? So where is it that you are going to find life? Hold on to your hats. It's hopefully in death. You know, seed, the one we plant in the ground, in order for anything to live, it must first die. What have you got to lose? Honestly? Hopefully everything. The day I gave my life again, I say again, I gave it twice. I did fall away from him. After a long walk away from him, I was living a horizontal life. I'll use my horizontal life before Jesus as an example. Speak about my heart condition. Personal desires, bad decisions, distorted thinking, loneliness, rejection, bitterness, anger, shame, fear, guilt. And then the good news, I exchanged it for a vertical one. Amen. And now we read love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and again, love. Coming into his presence again for me, leaving everything else behind. I didn't look back. Not ever. Has it been hard? Absolutely. But has it been sweet? Oh, how sweet. Cannot describe. Man, oh man. I stand by my decision saying, I've lost the ability to say no to the things of God. You see, the aim is not for me to be a better version of myself. That is a prosperity gospel speaking when you hear that. God wants me to die. There's no better version of me. There's only a place where there's less of me and more of Jesus. There's nothing I can do with this deficient person. He hates my sinful nature. I need to bury that at the foot of the cross. I need to become more like his son. Another amen. There is a lie I believed and trusted for so long growing up, one my dad taught me. I think I've mentioned it before. Don't be the example. And it's actually a lie. I ended up with a sorry statement, don't ever be an example. My surname is Yop, Jap, you'll hear and you'll go, they say Jap, but they spell it Yop, is it Yop, is it Jap? We're families from Wales and we don't have an Afrikaans bone in our body. But I was in the country when there was conscription. And I did national service. I find the Afrikaans language very strange. You know, Afrikaans name for surname is fun. There's nothing fun about your surname. In the army specifically. Those who've been in the army, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Police force. 5. Your surname is how you are always called to do your next terrible task. You learn to not enjoy your surname. And mine, such a memorable name, Yop. The sergeants and corporals learnt it fast. Oh, Yop, oh, Yopi. Trian, Jaapie kom voor. Demonstreer vir die manne hoe om te, and then you add what terrible things you can think of. So we see ourselves, always the example in the room. I couldn't avoid it then, and now in my new life, I find myself being asked through Scripture and God to be an example again. We are all called to be examples to the world. There's some scripture. There are many, but I'll only use those from Peter tonight, just because we're part of that series, and that's who we've been looking on recently. So 1 Peter 2 verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. But what if I raise my hand and the world gets to see me as I am, all of me, the naked truth? This is actually good news. For when you stand, it's this vulnerability and willingness to die that the world needs to witness. The immense love we have for one another, despite the painfully obvious trials, rise above your pain. Rise above the long road. Find perseverance. Romans 5, 5 to 11. I have a different version, but we'll go with yours. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely, we are not in the same place. Why did I write down five? No. I'll get the, my wife will look it up. I'll give it to Rob. He's got better eyes. Romans. Romans 5. Peace and hope. He's also looking for his glasses. Therefore, since, and this is a favorite verse of mine, so I'm shocked that I got it wrong. Therefore, yes. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, go to verse 5. Okay, go back. Yes, we're in the right place. It was the right place. Disaster averted. It's just the middle bit that we hadn't got to. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Amen. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, mine, in verse 11, it uses, instead of the word rejoice, it uses the word boast. And that's where I pick up. And how do we boast? How do we rejoice? We live out our new life as a signal fire to everyone around us. We speak of the great things he has done. Tell you another story, not long. Me and my cancer journey, for those who don't know, 5 years ago I had renal cell carcinoma. A 30 centimeter, 3 kilogram tumor I had removed with my kidney almost 5 years ago. went through an amazing transformation, God doing amazing work in me. But that's a testimony for another time. And recently, during my 5-year all clear, I received some news that I had a small tumor starting on my pleural lining between my lung and my rib. And I was reminded again of the promises, things that have stuck in me and by me and continue to encourage me. A place where I read and learn of those that have gone before us and show us the value of incredible perseverance and hope. One of those places is in Joshua. So I'm going to read a little bit, Joshua. For those who don't know, it's in the Old Testament. I did find it. Joshua 14. A little bit long, but we're going to read it. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzites said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old." Just hold on to that. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron had belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba from Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. So before we read, so Caleb was one of the spies that went into the promised land to scout. He was one of two that only came back with positive reports. He was strong in his faith, and he chose to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And there we read, here I am, 85, as strong as he was on the day. Give me the land, I will conquer. Almost seems like he gets punished, spending 45 years in the desert because of others' lack of faith. Instead of being discouraged of where he is, how many of you are being discouraged by where you are at the moment? 45 years later, we read Caleb is still not despondent. The Lord willing, he still has his full mindset of when he was younger, where he is still as dependent on the Lord at 85 than he was when he was at 40. Isn't that amazing? Let's be like Caleb. Not despondent, still dependent on the Lord. Let's not let the concept of time haunt us. Let's cling to that one thing that God has given us for these times. Let's find hope. Amen? To die to live is living, and are working out. I mentioned that before. It's not a moment. There was a moment in your life. That was the day you were saved. Your moment of salvation. But we are called to demonstrate, to show the world, and this is part of the walking out, in partnership, in fellowship with one another and the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, an impossible task. Again, God is asking you to do a task so big that without Him, you will surely fail. We have now spoken about it, and we've read about it. We've done 3 sessions on Peter. But perhaps you don't know if you're doing it yourself. Perhaps you're still battling with the horizontal items mentioned earlier. Perhaps you don't want to ask. Perhaps you think you might be or sound like you're not the Christian you're supposed to be. Here is good news, family, including Brackenfell. I will try to answer these questions today so you don't have to ask. Have you ever wondered how to bear this vertical fruit in your life? Let's read again. I said we couldn't read it often enough. 2 Peter 1, 5-9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I love the phrase, every effort. This means we are about to be steady and careful in our application of what comes next. We are to be consistent in our efforts in following Peter's instruction. This is an active and ongoing appeal, not just a one-time thing. Let's have a look under the hood. Faith. Peter begins with faith. My wife's going to laugh. Ons geloof. Faith is a sign of bearing fruit. Faith is fully relying on God for provision, strength, courage, and life. It is recognizing that He is in full control of every single thing that happens in the world. Amen? Faith is usually forged in a fire. In the midst of trials, see Daniel, see Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, see David. If you know someone who has incredible faith, know this. They have likely experienced many battles to grow their faith. Our faith is a foundation of our walk and our fruit-bearing capacity. Next one, goodness. Peter then builds upon our faith with goodness, also known in ye old speak as virtue, for those who rely on their phones too much. In Afrikaans, it's deug. Virtue, deug. Any old Afrikaans people here who know what it is to speak the language still? Because I'm surrounded by youngsters. That's the word it gave me, deug. Who's saying yes? Agree with me. Okay, 2 or more. Sold. Virtue is defined as moral excellence or righteousness. Who is our righteousness? Who is our moral compass? Jesus. Andrew and his Babylon series, we must not give in to the world just because culture says so. If we want to bear fruit, then who do we hold fast to? Jesus. And we do what he instructs us to do, even in the face of opposition. We live in a culture where We live in a culture where biblical morals and virtue are fiercely opposed. Living a virtuous or life full of godly goodness, not worldly good, is proof of bearing fruit. The next one is knowledge. To goodness we add knowledge. Kenneth, am I right? I'm doing well. I will rely on Paul's writing to the Corinthians to define this version of knowledge, and definitely not the world's view of knowledge. So I'll run through it quickly because time is few. 1 Corinthians 1:4-5. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. 2 Corinthians 8:7. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And finally, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Reading these verses, I believe the fruit-bearing knowledge is the knowledge of God. Spiritual knowledge, not earthly knowledge. If we aren't firstly gaining spiritual knowledge, we won't be bearing good fruit. Next one, self-control. Self-behear. Is that right? Huh? My corporal used to say to me, "Yay, Beata Baikum, hoor jy my?" It's my big Afrikaans word. Dis totaal onaanvaarbaar, Jaap. But we're in self-control, good place, similar. Adding to knowledge is self-control. I see many people try and justify self-reliance with self-control, falsely believing that they can overcome their sin, unhealthy habits by their own efforts or understanding, that horizontal stuff. We read in Galatians, though, that self-control is fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what we read in Galatians. It is by God and not by our own doing or our own strength. Rely on the Holy Spirit to give us self-control instead of our own power. Our own power will falter and weaken and fail. The strength and fruit of the Holy Spirit never will. Amen. Next, perseverance. This one's going to be good. To self-control, we add perseverance. Dear settings for more. Is that it? One word. Why didn't they break it up? A dictionary, English dictionary, definition of perseverance is this: steady persistence in the course of action, a purpose, a state, etc., especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. We know Jesus said we would have troubles, didn't he? That we should not be surprised when problems and obstacles come our way. And yet somehow we stand shocked when we face them. Peter tells us to persevere through these trials. When we persevere, we display the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Godliness. Godsvrug. Does sound good, better in Afrikaans, actually. God's fruit. Huh? It is God's fruit, huh? Vrug. I don't know. It's Afrikaans. Doesn't matter. It's godliness. So this doesn't just happen. What is the process to obtain godliness? Great question, Christian. We must be doing the other five things I've just mentioned. And that's godliness. What an amazing purpose for our lives. This is a good thing. Amen. Next one, mutual affection. Mutual affection is added to godliness. Anybody want to guess this one? I think I'm out of my depth here. Wederzijdse genegenheid. Huh? That's it. Wederzijdse genegenheid. I find this order interesting. Establishing godliness happens before mutual affection. Perhaps we need the glory of God shining in our lives in order to show kindness, godly kindness, to our brothers and sisters. Another amen. Love. Liefde. Lastly, add love to mutual affection. Godly love is impossible. It's an impossible fruit to bear without all of the other seven things. Maybe that's why it's added last. Jesus said, "People will know we are his disciples if we love one another." What does it say to the world about him and us when we don't show his love? Let's show the world his amazing love. Amen, amen, amen. Now, a lot of info has been downloaded here. And we'll need for you to go home and run through it a few times, again and again. We repeated a lot of it. But still, it's not going to sink in. This is a living out. The race is long. Do I think we have to have it all perfectly? No. I don't think we need to have it all perfectly, all together, in order to bear fruit. But you do need to have that hope we talked about earlier. The one Caleb held on to for 45 years. And trust that as we work through these things and we pull close to God, we will bear fruit. And I ask the worship team to come up, please. And the hall empties. Just want to say I'm so blessed at the moment to find myself, God speaking to me, first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth watch, doesn't matter. But I find myself waking up worshiping. Just in my head, before my mouth even opens, I find myself singing in my heart to the Lord. Just shared, Stephen playing with me. Everything we've just shared, all this godly knowledge, hopefully, I want us to find the joy in this. Some of it's heavy. It's good that it's heavy. Johan wanted you to feel comfortable. I don't want you to feel comfortable. I want us to push. I want us to push. I want us to be challenged as a greater Josh Chen, Brackenfell, Durbanville PM, all over the city. Truly celebrate your freedom. Not the freedom for here, for now, but the freedom we get in eternity spent with the Father. Amen. Raise holy hands when the word says raise hands. Amen. Dance when the words say dance. Amen. Shout when the words say shout. Amen. Let our external actions be what we declare in our hearts. Let's sing and dance and love like nothing before. Let's stand and worship the King together.